Have you noticed that the older you get, the more readily memories come to mind of events that happened far in the past, perhaps decades ago? But it's increasingly difficult to recall what happened a week, an hour, or even a moment ago. Have you ever, for example, had the experience of running up the stairs in your home or into another part of the house to retrieve something, and when you arrive at the doorway of that room, you don't have a clue as to why you're there? In that event, I have found there's only one reliable method for recalling, and that is going back down the stairs or back to the room that you started in the hopes that it'll pop back into your mind. I don't know about you, I find that works about 70% of the time. I've pretty much given up on remembering where I've left my reading glasses. Now I just buy 3 to 4 inexpensive pair from the drugstore and keep them scattered around the office or at home. Any of you do this? Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of hands. Those drugstore glasses don't look so fashionable, but usually there's a pair sitting around somewhere, and they double as a nice play toy for the kids. They like to put them on and play serious-looking daddy. Or have you ever forgotten something and then tried to convince yourself, well, if it's really important, I'll remember? You know, sometimes that's true and sometimes it's not. Memories. Those we hold on to, those we lose, play a big role in our lives. Not only for how we get through the day, but also in shaping our perceptions of ourselves and each other, and ultimately how we think about God and how we think about our faith. And of course, how and when we remember what God has done in our lives is our topic for this morning. Let us pray. Lord and Father of us all, make this a time when we remember you and remember your covenant with us through Jesus Christ. Help us now in this moment to recall your faithfulness to us through him. And move us, we pray, by the power of your Spirit to live in your covenant with us every day. Amen. Memory can be defined as our conscious or unconscious evocation of things past. And such evocation of things past, according to Scripture, is quite important to our faith. Nowhere in Scripture is there an academic definition of memory or a treatise on its utility. But there's a whole lot of recalling events from the past in Scripture, specifically those events in which God acted in a strong way to redeem or save his people from trouble. And one defining event from the Bible which is remembered throughout the Old Testament and into the New is Israel's exodus from Egypt. The story of this historical event remains, even today, at the center of our faith and has taken on added meaning as new chapters of our faith have been written over the centuries. And to the present, Israel's release from bondage remains an important template for our Christian understanding of our release by the power of Christ from the oppressive powers of sin and death. Israel's passage through the waters of the Red Sea at the raising of Moses' staff has become an important scriptural framework for our understanding of our own passage as Christians through the waters of baptism. As we leave one way of life and enter into a new way of life in Christ's name. We are delivered by the hand of God to a new kind of kingdom, flowing not only with milk and honey, but with the very grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. In our passage from Exodus 13, we find the tribe of Israel just at the beginning of their departure from Egypt. They left in a hurry from Ramesses, and now they're camped at Succoth. And it's here in this place that they receive instruction from Moses to observe this 7-day feast of unleavened bread. You remember the story. The bread is not mixed with yeast because there was no time for it to rise in the hurry of their departure. This is what Hebrew children are reminded at every Passover meal. And then interestingly, in verse 9, Moses says to his people, "This will be to you as a sign on your hand and a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord will be on your mouth. For with a strong hand, the Lord brought you out of Egypt." Did you notice all that language of the body in that passage? A sign on your hand, a memorial between your eyes, the law on your mouth, deliverance by the strong hand of the Lord. All this language of the body says that our faith is lived out not only through our hearts and minds, but through our bodies as well. Or as one commentator I read put it, the body is pressed into the service of memory. The body is pressed into the service of memory. Or to put it even more simply, our faith is not just a head trip. No, our faith draws us fully into observance with all our heart and with all our mind and with all our strength, as we just heard in that beautiful solo. I remember years ago, when I began in pastoral ministry, I confessed to a seasoned pastor that when I would go to visit someone in a time of trouble, I didn't always feel I knew the right words to say. Some of you know this experience as well. Sometimes their troubles seemed too big for my small words to have any comfort at all. And this seasoned pastor reminded me in that moment, yes, indeed, many troubles are too big for your words to comfort or solve. But never underestimate, he said, the significance of you simply showing up, being physically present in the time of their trouble. This, he said, speaks of God's love for the person that you seek to comfort. And indeed, there have been times when I have been sick, and perhaps you can imagine, or been in trouble, and a friend has drawn near, and it didn't matter what they said in that moment, they were there. They were there. I was literally not alone. You were literally not alone. And in that moment, you were reminded that you worship a God called Emmanuel, God with us. If you had such an experience where the touch of a hand, a listening ear, a steady arm helping you into an armchair or into bed spoke to you of God's grace and specific care for you as his child. I think of that pastor's advice whenever I hear or speak Jesus' words in communion. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. Jesus understood that faith is also deeply physical. He understood it to his death as his body suffered on that cross. His body is pressed into the service of memory. Through so many rituals of our faith, we are engaged in physical enactments of what we stand for, what we believe. In the remembering, we are renewed in our covenant with God generation after generation. We are renewed in our very identity as people redeemed by the power of Jesus' cross and resurrection. And it's through our ritual, liturgical actions that we are pressed into faithful action in the world. In the kneeling, we are humbled in service to each other. In the standing to recite the creed, we are reinforced in standing up for the truth of the gospel when we are surrounded by lies. In fasting, we remember we do not live by bread alone. In breaking bread and drinking from the cup, we acknowledge how our wholeness in Christ came through the price of His broken body. And when our own bodies are broken, we experience the gift of a God who understands our suffering fully because His body endured the worst kind of punishment. "Why, O God, have you forsaken me?" He said from the cross. We live out our faith in this world and we experience deliverance, our passage says, by the strong hand of God. God's strength is made perfect in our human weakness. Last Sunday, I had an interesting experience after worship. I had a young boy approach me, and he said, "Did you do those baptisms in worship this morning?" I was, in that moment, tempted to correct his terminology. But I realized in that moment he was connecting the water from the font with his Saturday evening bath. One of the more pleasurable and playful experiences for a little boy. Do you remember baths when you were a child? I remember playing battleship with the soap floating in the water. I said, "Yes, I did do those baptisms. Aren't baptisms great?" And he said, "Yeah, they're really great." Out of the bath and into God's kingdom. That's my kind of exodus. I don't think I'll ever conduct a baptism again, or a baptism, without thinking of that little boy who helped me remember the meaning of the sacrament. So many times in ministry, I've been so impressed by how in moments of forgetfulness, the body of Christ helps its own members remember who they are, whom they belong to, what they're about. We do that for each other as members of the body. I know a man whose elderly mother, a longtime member of the church, developed severe dementia in her old age. Eventually, it was impossible for her to recognize even her own son when he would go and visit her in the nursing home. One day when he was at a loss for what to do as she was simply staring at the wall and not reacting to anything that he had to say to her, he saw a hymnal in the common room near the piano. And so out of a loss for anything else to do, he picked up that hymnal and he began to just sing in his best voice. He wasn't the best singer in the world, but he just began to sing the hymns that he found and the hymns that he remembered from that hymnal. These were the hymns that she had taught him in the pew all those Sunday mornings through his childhood. The hymns that she had sang all her life. I don't have to finish that story, do I? Sometimes what the mind forgets, the lips, the hands, the feet remember. The body remembers. And God smiles back when we smile at God through song. The body is pressed into the service of memory. Memory of God's goodness in our lives. It is the body of Christ who reminds us who we are and what we're called to do. For the past year, I have been involved in a 7:15 a.m. small group Bible study every Wednesday morning in my office. And I'll be honest with you, I have to tell you, on those dark, cold winter mornings, rousting myself out of bed to be physically present in body in my office for that conversation hasn't always been easy. There's something about Presbyterian men, we insist on meeting early. But I can tell you, every Wednesday morning when the men that I have studied scripture with and prayed with leave my office, I thank God, because by their physical presence, they have reminded me who I am, whom I serve, and why I do what I do. Their physical presence at that unholy hour has been a holy experience for me, and reminds me of this congregation's commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just like you in your work or calling, there are moments when I forget who I am, why I do what I do. But the members of Christ's body, indeed all of us in this church, we remind each other why we're here, what we're about, and who we are to God. All the members of his body are pressed into the service of memory. What does Paul write to the Thessalonians? We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated 60 years of ministry as the National Presbyterian Church. My favorite word in that title is the. A history that reaches for even more decades before that designation. For decades before the National Presbyterian, there were congregations of believers who were recalling the mighty acts of God and proclaiming the gospel in this city. And through the physical and spiritual efforts of countless members and staff, we remembered on that anniversary and celebrated God's work in and through this congregation for generations, past, present, and future. And through such remembrance, by taking notice of what God has done in the past, we take notice of what God is still doing and will keep on doing through those who love him. He reminds us through each other, through the members of the body, that we are called in service to his Son. Let us pray. Lord, you have been faithful to us for generations. May we, in this generation of your followers, always remember how you have delivered us from the power of sin and death, and how you have equipped us to serve in Jesus' name. Amen.